On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
What's up, everybody? This is Fred Smooney. You listen to Redskin Talk.
Mr. Case Keenum, can we borrow you for a moment?
Hey, what up, everybody?
Hi, I'm Ryan Kerrigan. This is the Redskins Talk Podcast with J.P. Finley.
What up, everybody?
This is Landon Collins with Redskins Talk Podcast with J.P. Finley.
What up, everybody?
Redskins Talk Podcast. JP Finley, Mitch, Pete, we're all here in the tent. We ride with Oarsman Automotive in Virginia. Hope you do the same. It is hotter than hell in Richmond, Virginia. I think that was a big part of why there were so many fights today. And we're going to go to our chief fight correspondent, Pete Haley, for the details.
So the first 11-on-11 session, and Mitch kind of alluded to this, on Sunday, the O-line, D-line drills were getting heated, and JoJo Wicker seemed to be a big part of it. Well, JoJo Wicker instigated the first fight.
JoJo Wicker's trying to get a roster spot. Yeah. I got no beef with JoJo Wicker going hard all the time.
So he and Tyler Catalina got mixed up in an 11-on-11, kind of in that backfield. The play was over.
This started a couple days ago, too. Remember, yeah. I think it was Sunday's practice.
Yeah, Sunday.
Stuff was getting tested.
It was a hint of like, okay, we're about to have it. You think maybe the off day would settle guys down. Clearly it didn't. So Wicker and Catalina got into it. Wicker shoved Catalina real hard. And at that point, Catalina punched Wicker twice with his right hand, legit haymaker across his face. Like face mask. Like you could hear the fist smashing him into the face mask. Two legit
punches.
Which
is so dumb, dude.
So dumb.
You're going to break your hand.
And it was kind of bad because Wicker didn't even like really flinch. He took it, stood there, took another one. Then they got completely tangled up. Settle ran over.
Who came over and leveled somebody?
Tim Settle came over and blindsided the S out of Tyler Catalina.
And Tim Settle and Caleb Brantley were the two that were really getting things going on Sunday.
Those bottom three. So Payne Allen Ioannidis are real serious, but it doesn't seem like they really, you know, talk or skate. The bottom three guys are energetic and annoying and pestering. So those three really ride together just like we ride with Oarsman. So Settle came over, blindsided the S out of Tyler Catalina, and then at that point it became a huge mess. Deron Payne got involved. Receivers were pulling people off the pile. It was a nasty fight. I'm writing in my practice report on the brawl scale, I gave it an 8 out of 10. It was
a good brawl.
You don't
want to hype up a brawl too much because the Jets Skins last year was way bigger because it spilled into the fans and the fans were fighting. But like, for a team-on-team brawl, usually it gets broken up after a couple after the Catalina-Wicker part, usually it breaks up.
Yeah, never.
But this thing, like, doubled down and grew in size.
Yeah, it grew in size, and no coaches were really interested in getting the mix and trying to break it up. I don't blame them. Some players eventually police
especially
themselves.
That first camp fight is going to happen, and coaches are kind of okay with it.
Yeah.
Like
they like seeing the testiness.
And they might give you a BS answer about, no, it disrupts practice. They're cool with it.
Yeah, so that was really, really intense.
So that was round one.
That was round one.
They're cool with it as long as it's not A1 starters that
sure,
are
getting as long as it's JoJo Wicker and Tyler Catalina.
As long as Catalina's risking breaking his hand, then that's okay. So
and real quick, before we keep going, we know that the Donald Penn situation is a big deal. We're going to address that, but the fights happened today. As far as I know, there's no video of them, so we're leaning on our chief fight correspondent, Pete Haley, to get us through the second round.
Thank you. So second round, a couple plays later.
There were two fights in four snaps of 11-on-11 drills.
That first one gets broken up. Okay, it's intense. Guys are going at it. A couple plays later, Monte Nicholson and Jeremy Sprinkle get locked up down the field in a block. And Nicholson got sprinkled to the ground. And instead of either A, leaving, or B, helping Sprinkle up, he just kept his arm straight and just kind of pinned Sprinkle down. Sprinkle's a big dude and didn't seem to appreciate it. Eventually, Sprinkle got up. And as he did that move where when you're like kind of desperately in a fight, you grab a guy's legs, pick him up, and pile drive him down. Nicholson and Sprinkle then get tangled up down on the ground again. They're kind of punching a little bit. Sprinkle did not like what Monte was doing. And that didn't devolve into the whole chaotic fight. I gave this one a 5.5 out of 10.
But the takedown was intense.
Yeah, like you don't expect to see a pile driving happened between two players. So they were separated by the DBs, but that was another interesting one because Sprinkle's usually a pretty quiet, tame guy, but he did not like what Monte was pulling there.
So
and Monte's been trolling guys all camp. After every play, he's kind of tapping dudes, kind of smacking with their helmets or shoulders, getting these extra dings in. So I think Sprinkle might have just been like, look, I'm tired of this guy. I need to put him on his butt.
So you gave round one to the defense and round two to the offense?
I think that Nicholson-Sprinkle was a split because Nicholson was like – kind of big brothering Jeremy down, like just keeping him pinned to the ground a little bit. And
Jeremy's bigger, but Monte might be stronger.
Yeah, yeah. So I think
that
one
takedown was
the takedown was excellent, but I think a safety being able to hold a giant tight end down for that long kind of gives him an edge. I think it's kind of a split decision, but if you want to give it to Sprinkle, I'm not going to deny it. The takedown was sick. Sick takedown.
Two good fights. It got everybody moving, paying attention. I don't know that there was... I don't think there's any disciplinary hearing coming out of that. Especially O-line, D-line, man. That stuff's going to happen every year.
And you picked up on the, not really a fight, but Greg Minuski and Marquise Flowers.
That was something.
Yeah, I saw what was Flowers trying to audible out of the play or something.
Flowers said something like, a race.
Yeah.
A race. And Minuski screamed over, it's not a race. And then, so the play, whatever Flowers was calling got called off. And then after the play... Flowers, I think, legitimately, like, trying to learn, but maybe there's more to it that I don't understand, was like, Coach, what's up? Why isn't that a race? And Minuski was not having it. He's like, because it's not in the effing playbook.
Yeah.
And then everybody just kind of turned around and
huddled up. I'm not calling a race anymore.
Well, and the thing that happens, especially defensively, and John Bostic told us this a while ago, is that, like, if you're playing in a 3-4 base scheme in Indy or Pittsburgh or, you know, with the Chiefs, the language is going to be pretty similar stop to stop, but there's going to be different, like, terms, right? Like
alerts.
Alerts, all that stuff. And they're just going to be different words. And so Bostic, I can't remember what it was, but early on when Bostic was telling us the story, this is like minicamp, how it was crazy. I was able to step in and on my first day, call the plays in the huddle. He said he gave one alert, though, and the coach grabbed him afterwards. Like, if the alert he thought was the right term was ghost, it ends up with the Redskins, it's goblin or something. Like, it's similarities because you're kind of calling for the similar things, but, like, it's different words. And I think a week into training camp for a guy like Marquise Flowers is trying to make a roster, have the code words down.
Yeah,
Ryan Kerrigan, I think, was on the podium a couple days ago and said he's impressed by Bostic being able to come in and handle that kind of change in language. And I guess Flowers maybe is not handling it as well, and Greg Minuski was happy to let him know.
All right, Donald Penn, clearly a big deal. I think this one is different. This is not Corey Robinson. Donald Penn was in the Pro Bowl two seasons ago. From 2007 to 2016, Donald Penn never missed a game. In 2017, he missed two games but made the Pro Bowl. Last year, he got hurt.
How many Pro Bowls does he have overall?
He has three Pro Bowls in his 12-year career.
Gotcha. And where'd he go to school?
Sorry
if you don't have that read.
I do. Utah State.
Huh, okay.
Who... I believe you got any Utah State Aggies in your phone book?
Chris Cooley. They might be on the same team, maybe. Does Penn go back?
No, I don't know.
I don't think that far back.
We can look that up. No, dude. Penn was in the NFL in 07. Cooley was in the NFL.
He was like 04-ish.
Yeah. Actually, maybe, dude. Especially because what's interesting, too, is Chris Cooley talked about Penn a while ago as a guy that really made sense for them. So this is a different situation. This is more about Trent than certainly Corey Robinson was. I wonder if this is starting to be a little bit of Trent insurance. And we're a week in. We've had the reports about Trent has a fractured relationship. He's never going to play here again. Redskins PR says that's baloney. That's 100% false.
Trent will come back. I expect him to.
He said when he comes back.
He said I expect him to return at some point.
And I do too. But I do think the trade, forcing a trade, like that possibility has grown from a 5, 10% possibility. Whatever it was at, I'll double it. So if I was at 5, it's 10. If I was at 10, it's 20.
Yeah, I mean, you see that the Redskins are starting to take the steps, you know, putting Trent on the non-football injured list, bringing in Corey Robinson.
Reserve, not reported list, yeah.
Bringing in Corey Robinson, but now bringing in Donald Penn, who's a dude that assuming that his health is in good shape and that he's able to, he's a guy that you could see legitimately step in and start at left tackle potentially in week one. And so you see them starting to take those steps that maybe making that insurance for whatever happens with Trent.
Yeah, and today's presser with Jay, JP asked just for the Trent update. It's kind of been a random reporter every day asking.
He was excited.
And Jay, it's not like he snapped or anything, but it kind of gave a little bit of a hint into what he's thinking. He goes, you know what? When there's a Trent update, I'll give you one instead of just answering, nope, haven't heard from him. So I think it's starting to weigh on him a little bit and perturb him, understandably so, but maybe the Redskins are kind of just starting to not move on and prepare without Trent, but try and give themselves as many options as possible.
All right, before we dig in a little more on the Donald Penn, I want to thank the good folks, Oarsman Chantilly Toyota. Go check them out. David Timoner is the GM out there. He'll give you all sorts of good deals. You can get a hold of him, 888-379-3840, Oarsman Chantilly Toyota. Donald Penn is ostensibly here. I think he'll actually, by the time he actually practices, so he's in D.C. on Tuesday. He'll get to Richmond on Wednesday. I don't know that we see him until Saturday.
Why is he stopping in D.C.?
I imagine the paperwork was at the park.
Okay.
I imagine actually signing the contract and stuff.
Gotcha.
But also, depending where he was, you might not get a flight into Richmond, flying to Dulles.
Oh, yeah, not exactly easy.
I mean, if he was on the West Coast, I don't know. They got directs to Richmond.
Yeah, I doubt
anybody,
it.
AJ, do you know? Where's you get a direct to the West Coast out of the Richmond airport?
I think it's an international airport. So.
Oh, my gosh. That means you can fly to Mexico, or Canada.
I would imagine West Coast wouldn't be an issue if you get there.
AJ thinks you can. Who knows? All this is irrelevant because these dudes might be flying private anyway.
Sorry. Flights and fights. Your Redskins Talk podcast today.
How many fights have the three of us had already?
Nothing bad, really.
The day off didn't really do us any good. This is like the crankiest everyone's been.
It's hot, man, and there's been a number of...
Hiccups?
Hiccups today. We've had some hiccups.
Yeah.
I've had the hiccups. I don't think I can eat gummy bears anymore.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
They're wrecking me. I never knew. Who knew? Donald Penn, week one.
You said we won't see him until Saturday, you think?
Sure, okay. But let's look at the big picture on this. I did an updated roster projection with Donald Penn. I think he's on the roster. So my updated Redskins roster with Donald Penn, I'm going with 9 O-linemen. Trent, Wes Martin, Rouye, Scherff, Moses, Pierce Baker, Bergstrom, Christian, Penn. So let's run through this. Martin, I think we have on the roster. Rouye, back practicing. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
He didn't do any team stuff, but they're going to work him back in. It's the right way to do it. Scherff, obviously. Moses, obviously. Pierce Baker has looked better than I expected him to be, particularly at center. Mm-hmm. Bergstrom, I think, is definitely on the team. He gives them guard center depth. Christian, tackle.
He was out here today.
And he did some work that allowed Eric Flowers to actually move inside the guard.
Inside. Yeah,
which is supposed to be the plan all along.
First 11 on 11, even, they had a kind of a wide handoff to Chris Thompson. And, I mean, it was one play, but Christian Flowers opened up a nice hole and Thompson cut through it. So Christian was able to get the first team, first practice reps of his summer, and it was encouraging to see. He looked okay, had a big brace on the right leg, but I think he handled himself well for getting his feet wet.
So here's the most interesting part of this, I think. There's probably going to be some level of attrition over the next month, that guys get hurt or whatever happens, because we don't have Catalina included. We don't have Eric Flowers included. Those guys have been getting big reps. Catalina's throwing haymakers.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, though, Trent isn't on the active roster. So you could break camp with 9 people and not include Trent.
Right.
And I think that is a pretty big deal in all of this. Now, I'm including him in my roster projection because I'm focused on week one, right? But if Trent's not on there, who's your 9th lineman become? Because you've got Moses, Christian, Penn, tackles. And then on the inside, you have Martin, Rouye, Scherff, Pierce Baker, Bergstrom.
You have to keep another tackle.
Right.
And you have to figure out whether that's Corey Robinson, whether that's Eric Flowers, or whether it's Timon Paris or
you haven't said Catalina. Well, I think
Catalina, I think, gives you a little more flexibility than the others.
I think Flowers does.
Flowers might be, yeah.
I think Flowers,
if he shows out a guard, okay.
Flowers is your 10th lineman right now.
He's outside looking in on the bubble, but could be.
But the bubble may not exist if Trent, because here's the thing, Trent ain't on the roster right now. He's on the reserve list. Reserve do not report.
Yeah, I think if Flowers.
The Redskins come up with more lists than any other. What list was Sua on a couple years ago?
Yeah.
I don't even remember.
Yeah, I mean.
I don't remember.
That, yeah. Taylor was like the list expert, and he was right. covering the perfect team for it too.
Right.
Flex the list knowledge. An interesting thing about Donald Penn in 2017, and this kind of relates to Trent in some regards as we look at the contract situation. But he signed a 2-year extension.
He was on the reserve left squad list. So Trent's on the reserve hasn't reported list.
So
and Foster was on, Ruben Foster was on the commissioner's exempt
Monte
list.
Monte was on some sort of list.
I don't know. I think I wonder what list Monte was on.
Bryce Love is on a list.
Bryce Love's on NFI. I'm sure we're on a list, dude. I'm confident we're on a list. Go ahead, Mitch. Sorry to interrupt.
Top 50 list. That's what we're on.
Donald Penn had a year left and about $10.5 million left on his contract with the Raiders when they cut him and when they released him this year. And he only counted about $4 million against the cap, which means that was pretty much his signing bonus. So instead of keeping him around to pay him the extra $6 million, they decided to get rid of him because they felt like they had enough
attack. Well, they spent a boatload of money on, what's the guy's name, Trent Brown.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, that's where the money went.
And Colton Miller, too, was their other guy they drafted in 2018. Right. So it made sense for them to move on from him. But you look at that situation where he had an $11.5 million contract, give or take. Only four of it was guaranteed and made it easy to move on. Not this season, but next season, Trent has a $12 million tag. A $12 million price tag with only two of it guaranteed. So it's easy for the Redskins to move on from him after in two seasons, which is what partially Trent is probably trying to get taken care of.
Yeah, if Eric Flowers can show out and give that positional flexibility, I think him and Catalina are the next two looking in if Trent doesn't break camp or come around by week one.
I agree.
I mean, I think that's the battle that you're looking at the bottom.
Greg Abernathy making his podcast debut for 2019. Anything to say?
Greg, you want
to
say hi?
The silence continues. Greg Abernathy holding out from the Redskins Talk podcast for a better contract. Or maybe he's upset with our medical experts.
He's upset with something at all times.
It's hot out. He's grumpy.
I'm ready to go to one thing. What say you?
Yeah, I'm ready
to go. We got the Josh Norman interview. I want to run that. It's good.
Oh, good idea. One thing. Mitch, do you want to go first?
I'll start. My one thing is Trey Quinn seems to be one of the players out here that is having the most fun out of everybody.
Yeah.
We caught him singing along to Titanium on the way out to practice today. And
doing a pretty good job, too.
What is Titanium?
It's a great Sia pop song from like 4 or 5 years ago. I am Titanium. You would never have heard it.
I don't think I've heard this.
It's in Pitch Perfect as well.
So I'll tell you the truth. As my older one is getting older, I'm listening to more pop music.
Yeah.
And it's still pretty terrible, most of it, but like it can be catchy.
Yeah, no, yeah. You should play.
I've never like my entire
worms in there that can definitely get a couple.
The bulk of my adult life has been focused on like avoiding pop music, but I'm now in a new phase of life where I have no option.
We have a courtyard sesh at some point. I'll play Titanium on the speakers for you. It's good.
Real quick, my favorite thing about Trey Quinn is after every touchdown he scores, he winds up and does this huge like Gronk spike touchdown.
It's the Quinn spike.
So in the 11-on-11s, he caught a long touchdown. Maybe a guy would have made a tackle or not.
Ray Horton almost tackled him.
And after he scored,
Ray Horton stood there.
After he scored, the entire DBs were like, "Don't do it! Don't do it! Don't do it!" And he just kind of slowly wound up and dropped.
But
a huge
he also kind of like jogged back away from them before he did it too.
I'll do it over here.
Yeah, they all were like, "Boo!" On the way out as he was going.
Quinn is fun, and he's a lot of fun to like watch and talk to as he like runs off the field. Where are you at, Pete? Are you willing to get back as the president of the fan club, or is that the one area you want to be professional?
That's kind of the one area. I did talk to him after. I told him we got to see a thing on camera, and he goes, "No, you didn't." "Oh, no, you didn't." I go, "Yeah, just check your Twitter mentions, already up on the internet." He was horrified. It's actually a really good video. Good singing.
Is that a Meredith Viola?
Meredith has gotten too
great. Bang, 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 bang.
Meredith has the camera on Trey Quinn at all times. She's just getting great Trey Quinn content.
You want to do your one thing, or I have a question for the group?
You can ask the question. Questions are good.
It's up to you.
Go ahead.
If you're ready, go. I don't want to disrupt you.
No, I mean, I'll be ready whenever. It's fine.
Who was the best quarterback today? Who was the worst quarterback today?
I think Dwayne was the best. And
I think Keenum was the worst.
Is that two straight days we have?
But then some fan, as I was walking off, was like, "Man, Keenum was the best today." I was like, "For real?" Yeah. Because Keenum had a touchdown to end practice. But like,
it was a duck.
It was a duck. It was an underthrow that
Deion Harrison turned around, but Josh Norman.
And I don't think Deion Harris is I don't think Deion Harris is making this roster, right? Yeah. I think a real corner, that's a pick.
I think so, or at least broken up. Like, that was not a great throw. I think Haskins...
Dwayne had the back-to-back picks, though.
Right, and that knocked him down. Until that moment, I think Haskins was cruising for two best days in a row. But then the two picks are on my mind. Then you guys will hear it here in a minute with Josh Norman. When I talked to him, Norman said he was dialed in today. And
he didn't have a great red zone period.
That's where he threw the two picks.
Yeah.
One thing that hurt him, though, is he had a gorgeous deep ball down the middle that J.P. Holtz – somehow J.P. Holtz got behind a defense, which is concerning on
him. Because they're never thinking J.P. Holtz is going – like, that play is designed for Vernon Davis to beat everybody.
Yes.
But it was J.P. Holtz.
Dwayne dropped a dime on him, and he dropped it. But afterward, Gruden was kind of smiling and dapped up Dwayne because he knew that was a fantastic throw, and a regular tight end probably would have hauled it. I still think Dwayne had the best day, but I do think it was a step back for all three compared to Sunday when they were lighting it up. Good question, JP. All right.
So in my QB performance of the day, the name we haven't said is Colt. I think Colt was just steady and good.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we're going to see.
That kind of might win, right.
All right. My one thing is that Adonis, we talk all the time the one-on-one drills are slanted to receivers, but with Adonis, it seems like he especially struggles. He, even on just short little 5-7 yard routes, any receiver can take advantage of him. He looks pretty stiff still and uncomfortable out there one-on-one. And yes, he has the size advantage over Greg Stroman, if that kind of comes down to it, but I haven't really seen anything from Adonis at all this offseason. He wasn't practicing in Ashburn, and I've yet to see him do anything in any drill of note. Luckily for him, Greg Stroman hasn't either, but that bottom of the corner depth chart, it's like Jimmy Moreland, who had a pretty good day today, is separating himself, and Adonis and Stroman are just kind of lagging behind it. Adonis especially, it's a lot of like deep state fans are excited about him. I haven't seen one thing to really be excited about.
I agree. I meant to include him in my stock up, stock down, his stock is down. I'll probably include him in next week's version of that.
Yeah.
I did include him in my roster projection, and I went with 7 corners, which is hard, but there's kind of a lot to go with. I don't think they want to cut him. They made a supplemental pick to get him.
Yeah.
Physically, he's got everything. So you kind of want to wait and see if something can develop there. But I think Stroman's been better than Adonis. I don't know how good Stroman's been, but I think he's been better than Adonis.
Yeah, there's something to be said for sure. That body type is so unique, but I don't know. I really just truly haven't even seen a hint. I mean, you see hints from guys all the time, even bottom of the barrel receivers. You see them make plays every once in a while that gives you like, oh, okay, I can see that. Robert Davis, for example. But Adonis just hasn't stood out at all in any respect.
So that goes right into my one thing. I did my roster projection. You can find it on NBC Sports Washington and my team's app. It's hard to figure out with Brailford on the pup and Mason Foster gone. I mean, typically they're keeping 6 linebackers between the OLBs and the inside linebackers. I have 9 with 7 corners right now because, I mean, I'm including Marcus Smith as one of my outside linebackers.
Yeah, I heard him. I heard you mention him earlier today. I was like, why is JP bringing up Marcus Smith?
I mean, they signed him last year as a former first-round pick. He's got some talent. Tell me who I'm forgetting is might be a better. So we know Kerrigan, Sweat, Ryan Anderson. Done deal.
Yes.
I think at this point, if Brailford was there, I would say Casanova, McKenzie, McKenzie, Casanova. Give me your best.
Casanova, McKenzie, McKenzie, Casanova. But today I remembered it was Casanova, McKenzie.
We got to ask him one day why he says his name forwards and backwards every time. Like, Gruden does that every time he mentions his name.
It's funny.
It's a wacky little bit. But whatever. So if Brailford was still there, I would go Casanova, Brailford, and there's 5, right? But Brailford's on the pup list. He ain't there. So I'm going Kerrigan, Sweat, Anderson, Casanova, Marcus Smith. And the Smith thing, I don't know. Like, I mean, as we get closer to the regular season, we have some preseason games to watch. Like, this will get zeroed in a lot more, but I'm not sure the coaches could tell you. And then at inside linebacker, Hamilton, Bostic, JHC, Cole Holcomb. Barring an injury, write that in marker, dude.
Yeah, that feels like almost like safety words. Those 4 are definitely in.
Who's the 5th? It's not Marquise Flowers.
I honestly, I'm...
Yeah, I mean, they have
generally, they keep 10 there.
Yeah.
But maybe they aren't, and maybe they're going to...
Maybe that's where the roster spot for the 3rd QB comes from.
Maybe, but you have a roster spot on defense from Mason.
Yeah.
And when you start thinking about the bottom 10 roster spots, you got to think special teams. And, like... an outside linebacker probably isn't that big of a help for you on special. Those guys aren't generally running up and down the field. Inside linebacker is a special teams person. That's why I'm leaning towards corners, because those guys can play specials. I don't know. That's why one thing is like nine there
instead of 10 in a long time.
Trying to make sense of it, I'm not sure there's a ton of sense. And I thought about even going with four OLBs and adding a seventh wideout spot to Robert Davis.
Crazy, yeah.
But, like, you're just getting way too thin, you know? I don't know the answers, but
Yeah, it feels like Brailford.
And that was with – I had also been keeping a fullback roster spot, kind of just having fun because I'm doing damn roster projections in June and July.
Was it Wellman?
Flanagan.
Oh, Flanagan, okay.
I think they want Flanagan on this team. I don't think he's really a tight end for them. Maybe they keep 10 on the O-line if they want to keep – if they
really
activate Trent and they want to keep Flowers. I don't know. It's confusing right now.
Yeah,
because I don't know if there are any quality enough guys to justify keeping a fifth middle linebacker. We can't even name any right now.
Right.
Beyond those four.
And it's not a lot of work for whoever that person might be.
Yeah, and so, we talked about middle linebacker maybe being a little devalued or not as important. So if you want to trim, that'd be a decent spot to trim.
But you need bodies, man. We'll see. And a lot of this will get sorted out by injuries. And you hate to be that guy. And knock on wood that there that
been
really
quiet.
Hasn't happened so far. But if you judge on what's happened with this team for a while now, you know.
Yeah. I got a question for you guys.
Okay, Mitch.
We got Jay Gruden mic'd up coming. It'll be on the website by the time you guys get this podcast.
Awesome.
Let's go.
There's a great clip where Jay says, man, there's a lot of size there. You look like a Madden creative player. What player is Jay Gruden talking about?
I have an easy guess. JP, I'll let you maybe.
You can guess. I'm not – my Madden days are kind of behind me.
It just seems like Montez is the obvious choice.
I'm going to go with the guy, Corey Robinson. The dude's huge. They just signed him.
Well, that's also incorrect. You'll have to tune in to the mic'd up portion.
AJ can't help himself.
And I'm going to post it on my Twitter, and you all can make your guesses too.
Well, does AJ get to guess?
Nope.
That's a great idea, Mitch. That's fun.
I want AJ to guess because I think he might be right, and you won't let him guess.
Right. I don't want to give it away. I want people to tune in.
All right. Well, then you have to plug that I'm the only – well, whatever. Okay.
You're the only what?
Well, if I say that, it'll ruin it.
Right. Okay.
So I want – this is a good game. You should start doing this with all the mic'd ups.
I will.
All right. Mic'd ups are awesome.
Good.
By the way.
Sold.
I'm going to watch it and study and kind of work on my Jay Gruden impression.
Our guy, Ethan, get over here. Our guy, Ethan Cadu. Am I saying that right? Because that's just kind of the way I've decided your name goes.
I've heard it every way, but Cadu is the correct pronunciation. Well,
so just tell me, no, you're wrong. Say my name correct, you dumb MF. So our guy Ethan Cadeau, Pete.
Yeah, Ryan Hubler and Ethan Cadeau.
Waiting for Cadeau, is here. Ethan's been doing a lot of really good work for us on the website, and I want to hear your one thing, Ethan Cadeau.
Well, Pete wrote about this earlier in camp, but Jordan Reed, this is my first day here, continued to impress me. He was open by at least three or four steps every single rep I saw, and every single quarterback hit him right on the money. So it looked like it was super easy.
Who was your best QB out there today?
I was going to say Haskins.
You can sit. I feel like you're nervous. Take a load off. Relax.
I'm fine. Haskins was my best QB until those last two picks. I would say he probably still had the best day, but the lasting impression is the two interceptions.
Give me your depth chart of the day.
Putting Ethan on the spot.
He's a writer. He knows what he's doing.
I'm going to go with Case still at number one.
No. I'm sorry. Your performance of the day, your overall depth chart.
Just individual day.
Haskins, Colts at number two, and then Keenum at number three.
Haskins could have blown him away, but that last kind of sequence.
Did you guys see my tweet earlier?
By the way, Ethan has a great story on Fabian Moreau coming soon on the website, NBCSportsWashington.com.
What?
Got all a one-on-one with Fabian.
Can't wait to read it.
Go ahead, JP.
I got something emailed to me from one of these betting websites. I don't even know this one. Mitch, you know this one?
I bet he does.
Sportsbetting.ag?
No, I don't know that one.
Ethan knows.
I know that one.
All right, Ethan's my guy. Sports Betting AG. So one of their PR guys sent me this. Redskins quarterback odds. Keenum plus 100. Colt plus 150. Dwayne plus 250. Now, this is the start week one. If you have $100, you get to make one bet today. Where's your action going?
think if I had to make my bet today, I'm putting my 100 chips on Colt McCoy.
Peter?
Just odds-wise. With the odds. With getting
the odds make it juicy.
About. That's what makes it putting my 100 chips down to win $150.
I like the Colt play, but I think I would kind of risk it all and go with Dwayne just because it seems like
smart financial
his ceiling
decision,
is really, really high.
The
and he's starting
before.
To produce some of those more wow moments, those chunk plays. So I think Dwayne is getting better with time.
Ethan, who you got? You can sit, dude. I keep telling you. The mic will reach.
Oh, he's bringing the chair over.
Oh, he's getting comfortable now.
I think the difference between the odds for Colt versus Keenum, it's not worth throwing on Colt for just a little extra. I think it's plus 125 to plus 100. With 100 bucks.
I mean, I literally just told you.
Plus 150 to plus 100.
Yeah, come on, Ethan. 100 to 150. That's a 50% difference, depending on what you're putting on there. That's not accurate. Not a math guy. It's a $50. I don't know, dude. Just go. Just pick.
You got 100 bucks. You got to make one pick.
I'm going with the safe bet. I'm going with Keenum.
Lame. All right, take his mic. You have a hunt.
Harrison's wondering when we're going to do Orioles bets, by the way.
In that situation, I would put I'm starting to get a little tempted by the rookie right there. All right, 100 bucks, you can break it up. Who are you taking? And know that this is all odds-based. I'd rather hit a big winner. I'd rather hit 40 bucks at plus 250 than 40 bucks at plus 100.
So, yeah, that's where I'm at. I would drop 40 bucks on Dwayne Haskins.
I'm 40, 40, 20. 20 going to Case.
I'm 40 on Haskins, 60 on Colt.
All right. I like it.
50, 40, 10, Dwayne, Colt, Case.
Why would you even throw the 10 on Case?
Because odds are confusing to me, and I don't really get that. I don't really get the difference what's going on here.
Pete didn't want to do a $5 golf bet because he's so worried about his finances. So, yes, he wants the 10 bucks back.
Yeah.
And then he lost the $5 golf bet through the upright.
If I gave you $100 and told you to bet with it, would you just, like, pocket it and tell me that you made the bets?
If you gave me $100, there's no way I'm immediately going to try and waste that $100.
What would you try to do with it? Like, pay your phone bill? Like how desperate are things?
$100, it would be awesome for gas right now. And then, yeah.
You get reimbursed for gas.
I know, but I would reserve it for later. Yeah, if my phone's kind of expensive every month, I'd probably just take that.
You wouldn't take your $100 and buy your Brugs some drinks?
I mean, that's probably what it would end up doing in about 6 hours from now, but smart money would be gas, phone, and then maybe a little bit for like my Spotify, my Netflix stuff. $100 would really help. If you have $100, feel free to shove it my way.
Dude, tell everybody your Venmo. Everybody Venmo Pete a dollar.
I don't want them to do that.
All right, fine.
That's a good idea, but thank you.
All right, time for Josh Norman. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this.
What's the best part? What are we teasing here?
I like the Gettleman stuff. I find that pretty interesting. But I tell you what, the Ethan, if you're listening, I think we should blog this. Norman talking about the difference this year with Landon and Ray Horton. He didn't have to say what that difference is, but that means Swearinger and Torian Gray are gone. That's the difference in the room, and he couldn't have spoken more highly emphasis about how different that was. And I think that really, really stood out to me.
Okay.
It was a good interview with Norman. Josh is always great to talk to. He also talked about how hot it was. Hey, this Saturday, hell.
Yeah.
Saturday night at the Vale, 7 p.m. Be there or be square. 7, so everybody can go to Wes's stuff.
Okay, cool. 7 p.m. Prime time start.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Yep.
You going to be ready, Mitch?
I'm worried
about you, man.
Oh, I'm good.
You had an early morning.
What linebacker plays fullback for the Redskins every once in a while?
Pete.
That's like the concussion test.
It is. That's the baseline. All right, we got to go. Here comes Josh Norman.
Ryan Anderson.
Thank you for listening. If you made it this far, I owe you a beer.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman, Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
Newton under some heat. He gets his arm hit. It's up for grabs, and it is caught. It's intercepted, and it's Josh Norman at the 20-yard line.
Here we are, joined by the one and only Mr. Josh Norman. I think most fans know this by now, but you do an extra 30, 40 minutes worth of work after practice ends. Then you sign autographs. It is at least 95 degrees out there. What's wrong with you, dude?
I'm a little insane.
I think that's clear.
I'm a little psycho to the game. I really am. I don't know. I feel like it's going to help me combat, you know, that fourth quarter or whenever those game times come, to where I can just draw back from this moment in time in training camp. Because, dude, we got to get it, man. And, you know, I don't even know how much time it is after each, you know, practice that I be doing. I just go and do stuff that where I may see in the game, I try to work, you know.
Is some of that – I've always kind of wondered this about you, because since you've landed in D.C., you're a high-priced free agent cornerback. Yeah. But your start in the NFL and even your start in college football was not bright lights all the time. And do you – you always talk about going into a dark place when you're on the field. Do you go back to remind yourself that, hey, South Carolina didn't offer me. I played at Coastal Carolina. And hey, I was a late-round draft pick. And, hey, Gettleman, let me go. I mean, do you channel that every day?
No, not really. To be honest with you, I just channel trying to be great. Greatness, really. I mean, just trying to, you know, strive for that next level, whatever that is. I don't really worry about the past. It's who made me today, you know. Coming from that, I've been truly blessed and fortunate enough to have, you know, God-given abilities. You know, I just got to put the hard work towards it. And, you know, let the chips fall where they may be. You know, I shoot for the moon, you know. I catch some stars along the way, you know, that saying. But I just go out there and work as hard as my body can be pushed. You know, fatigue is only a mental thing. Once you get past that block, what's that next level? So I'm just trying to reach that at all aspects of the game. And if I can do that, then I can help this team win, you know?
And you've been very clear over the years. You've been here. There hasn't been a playoff game. And I believe that drives you crazy. You've said so. What do you think about this defense? Because Jay Gruden has been up front in saying we have to lean on the defense. That's how we're going to win games.
Absolutely. Great defense and good run game. Solid run game. I think that's any pedigree for any championship team. And when you look at all the championship teams in the past, you know, the old times and the new, they always had a solid run game and a great defense. So for us, we can't be any different than that. And we got to, you know, pull from each other. When you just set it up, just like, you know, what we do out here in practice, we have to be at our all-time best, because we know that the offense and the special teams are relying on us. And we have to be, you know, that much better than, you know, our opponents.
John Allen had a quote earlier this offseason that I've gone back to a number of times, and it's, we have the pieces, but pieces don't win games. When you think about the collection of talent, yes, defensively, and last year you guys had games where you were super dialed in, and then there were, yeah, other games where it went the other way. How do you make the pieces into one larger group?
Well, you know, we got a crew this year that comes in, and we all on the same page. You know, it feels like a great, you know, feel. It really do. We know we say this every training camp, and we do this all the time. But when you look at it, this training camp is just something much more fresher about it. You know, guys all on the same page, and they're really having fun with each other. So when you get that on the same page, and you got guys that I can trust in, like Jonathan Allen and Bostic, who came in off the free agent wire, and then you got guys like Landon Collins who came in, you trust in those guys because they played this game. They know what it's like. And you lean on each other, and, dude, man, I'm telling you, I know we say this enough, but I'm very excited about what we got coming up, right? For real. It's serious.
How different is it specifically then with Ray Horton? Because it seems like the two of you have hit a gear that I'm not sure I saw you kind of with Torrey in the last few seasons, and it's been a much shorter amount of time.
Absolutely, because he understands it. I mean, it's no substitution for experience. no matter where you go or what you do in life, there's no substitutes for that experience because they've been there before and they know what that looks like. And for me on that end, I just look at him because he played the game, right? And he was already coached it, and so many people have rated him highly. And coming in, I just want to soak some of that up. He giving me tools to use, feel like I'm back in the old days. I can play catch and bail at any given moment because I trust in him to give me those tools to understand that, hey, look, I have the ability to be all world if I choose to. And when you got a guy like that that pushes you in that space, you can only go high.
I'm going to switch sides of the football because you said something there that was interesting. Mm-hmm. There's no substitute for experience.
Right.
Yet there's a rookie quarterback here that when he's right, looks fantastic. Now, yeah, we've seen some rookie moments too, mm-hmm, but what do you think of Haskins as a guy who's been in the NFL a while and seen a lot of different quarterbacks?
Well, he had that today.
That's 2 days in a row now.
He had that today. But at the same time, when you look at a guy like that, man, he's big. First thing you see, he's opposing, and he has an arm. And, you know, he rely on that arm a lot. But in this league, you know, you got to rely on your players and understand the reads and what's coming to you, because we do multiple defenses, so we switch it up every time, just like the other teams are going to do. So when they see that, it's going to be like, okay, what you going to have to rely on now? And that's going to be pulling from the coaches and the coaching staffs to give him that knowledge to combat that, because he's a first year. He don't know what he don't know.
Sure.
And that's going to happen to any rookie. So when you look at him, man, don't take it – just take it for a grain of salt right now.
A veteran that wants to win games with a defense that's supposed to lead the way to victories,
mm-hmm,
do you want a veteran at quarterback? Or are you comfortable with a rookie at quarterback?
Well, right now I'm – whoever wins the battle to give us the opportunity to win games, that's what I want in a quarterback. It don't matter if it's a rookie or a 10-year vet. It really doesn't matter to me, man. I truly feel like whoever gives us the best opportunity to go out there and win games, it should be who the starter is. And that's from the defense side of the ball, for sure, because the only thing we need to do is get the ball back to them as many times as they can and, you know, put the ball in the box and, you know, back up for the next game. That's how we got to keep it going, because like I said, we got somewhere to be, and for sure it starts first with that first game with the Eagles, and then it just carry on.
You've dealt with contract stuff. When you were with the Panthers, they had, uh-huh, the tag on you. They rescinded the tag. I imagine there was a bit of a loss of trust with that organization when that happened. When you look at Trent Williams' situation, mm-hmm, maybe it's a holdout, maybe there's a medical issue, whatever's going on there. Have you talked to Trent? Is that somebody you reach out to?
You know what? Players, and when that situation come up, that's something that they have to deal with for themselves and their families. I don't too much be in that whole situation because I stay in my own lane, and I don't be bothered of swerving somebody else's because I don't really know what's going on. So I kind of like keep my head down and keep pressing with what we got here. And, you know, we're going to combat whatever that is. But like I said, I try to stay in my own lane, and I don't worry about anybody else when it comes to that, because I know me. It'll be somewhat like that, but like I said, I'm not in that position at the moment, so I don't look at that.
All right, and you brought up family there. We have a special guest with us here, I think. You putting your sweater back on?
Look at her.
You want to take over the mic?
What you got?
You're up.
Now you're shot. Say hello.
Hi.
I can't hear you. You got to say something.
Hi.
Hi.
What's your name?
Five. What grade are you going to?
First grade.
First grade? What's your favorite subject?
Reading.
Oh, wow.
What's your favorite part about watching your dad play football?
Signing autographs.
That's your favorite part? What about when he makes a tackle?
What about if I make a tackle? Or I intercept the ball. Remember that? You don't like that?
Oh, wow. That's a blog right there, dude. Wow.
Give me that mic back.
Thank you very much. That was fun. Thank you for letting us do that.
Yeah,
how much fun is training camp for you?
It's really fun right now. It's really relaxed. I mean, gosh, this is the first time I can say we actually all, you know, together in one sense. Everybody having fun. Landon's just been such a great addition to our room.
Really?
He really has. Him and Ray Horton, man. Gosh, man, it's just so fresh to have guys come in and just really, you know, fill the room with the want to and that love and passion for the game. And that carries through the whole entire group, man. And Jonathan Allen, he got his guys together, man. And Bosley came in and bring the linebackers. I mean, shoot, I didn't know much about Rob Ryan until, you know, he got here. I heard about him through the league, but how he got those backers hitting, man, that's intensity. That's gonna like flourish through the whole entire defense. I even got chill bumps talking.
Dude, you really
about
do.
It.
I can see
it's
it.
Crazy, man. I'm excited for what we have.
You really do.
I know, man. I'm excited for what we have.
Now's
really
the time
am.
For that excitement, right?
It is. It
do
is.
Do you feel like you guys are being slept on?
That's good, though. I mean, look, that is great. I want us to be the 32nd team that's like they feel that's going to go 3-13. You know what I'm saying? Like
USA
1-15.
Today predicted that. 3-13.
That's great. I love it. Like, that's – I mean, shoot, trust me. You'll never see it coming. You'll never hear us complaining about it because you know why? We just working in silence. We're working in silence. We're not going to sit up here and boast and brag about what we have on our squad. We're not going to talk about, oh, we did this and we did that. We just going to work quietly in silence. And then when that first game come on, we'll see how that goes.
I want to let you go because I know your family's here. Jay Gruden is somebody you have a strong relationship with, I believe. Mm-hmm. If I'm wrong, correct me. Jay has been clear that he's out if you guys don't make the playoffs. There are younger players on this team, rookies, guys that are fighting for roster spots that I don't think take any notice of that. You are in a different situation. You are a international man of mystery. You know what's going on with the head coach. Do you feel any way about trying to make sure Jay stays on?
No matter what team I'm on, I feel the same way every coach should be on. As long as I'm playing on that team, you should be on. Because that's what you brought me in for, not to you get fired. Because I don't feel like nobody who I'm, you know, carrying on my back in any kind of way should be that way. You know what I'm saying? So I went through my whole entire career, and I don't think anybody got the axe chopped to him in any kind of way because of how, you know, we played, and we wanted him to, you know, give us our all and give us the best that we have. And so for him, you know, he's a player coach. He do good. He do well with us as far as, you know, taking us to that next level. We haven't won the playoffs yet. We know that. And we have to break that gap, you know. Bar injuries or none, we have to reach that next level. And right now, Jay is the coach to do it for us. And for me, going into any game, I don't think I would want another coach than him to lead us into that, you know, playoff drive. But first, it starts with the Eagles, and then on after that. We can't look too far downhill. But like I said, yes, we definitely have to get in there.
Last one. There's no more Dez in the NFC East.
Yeah.
There's no more Odell in the NFC East. You're going to have to, like, start a new rivalry. Like, what's the plan?
Well, we came here for those guys, and they all left.
That's true. You are the last man standing in the division.
I know, right?
Deshaun's back with the Eagles.
Yeah, he's back, but he was just a teammate of ours. But I don't know, man. You know, we're going to have fun with whoever we get
Amari.
Faced with. Yeah, Amari, he's there, of course. And then who else? You have Alshon.
Sure. Alshon. Everybody in New York's getting hurt or suspended. So I don't know who you're going to see week four up there.
Well, I tell you this. Like, they're going to give their ball to 2-6. And if that's the case, we're going to stack the box.
I think
you
that's
better
the plan
be glad he's going to get touches. So whatever
so
that
you're
is.
You're saying Saquon Barkley would be your number one fantasy pick?
If I was them, yeah. Absolutely. Because you know it's going to happen. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't know. If they talk about us going 3-13 or whatever.
Finish that sentence.
I'm not going to go there right now. But, yeah, they have that. Gettleman got him. And Gettleman you trust, right?
Indeed. Have you and Landon discussed Dave Gettleman at all? You both seem to have similar feelings about the man.
I think if you go down the line, I think a lot of people have a similar feeling. It's not just one or two people here and there. You know what I'm saying? I think he has a track record of what he's done. So I'm not going to really speak too much on that. It shows in what he do. But like I said, that's all for them. Good luck to the Giants.
Indeed. Your kids ran away, so I'm going to let you go.
It's one. She's
over there tackling somebody.
Oh, yeah. Hey, man, she's the most feistiest little girl ever.
I was so surprised that she was shy right there because she was, like, very adamantly wanted to be part of this thing.
Yeah, I don't understand.
And she's tracking him down pretty well.
Yeah, she's a super athlete. She's better than all my little brother's kids. Yeah, she's on the chain, though.
Josh, thank you very much, man.
Thank you, for sure.
game open.
Sorry to be a
part of the
Yeah, sorry about that, but
if you're going to be like this, I'm not going to drive you to the airport anymore.
I'm good.
Just 2 minutes ago, we had Emo Pete, so I'm glad you're on the phone, JP.
The hell are you emo about now? Fish?
If I know.
I'm not emo. And it was about the hot chicken. I don't want it to burn my tongue, so I got all sad and weird about chicken.
Yo, it's not temperature hot, you idiot. It's spicy.
Yeah, I don't want it to burn my mouth with spice.
You're such a dummy.
What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.